Thank you for your welcome. It's nice to be here. I'm supposed to be council, sir. I'm council, no. But it is nice to be here, especially nice to look at the hour change, because we usually have to start at 10 o'clock. Especially going 10:30 in the hour change. Let's begin our service. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. He's kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. All who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will hear their cry. He will save. We thank God for his word and his promises. And we do indeed stand now to sing. Praise his Lord. Morning to just release our hearts and minds in praise and thanksgiving to you. word is right and true. You are faithful, Lord, in all that you do. You love righteousness and justice, and the earth is filled with your unfailing love. And we come this morning, Lord, and recognize that you do forgive us our sins. You do forget our sins. You do remove our sins from us and make us fit and suitable to be in your presence and eventually to be in heaven itself. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, the righteousness that you offer us through Jesus Christ. Lord, you made the earth, you made the heavens, you spoke and the stars were formed. Lord, we can't imagine such amazing thoughts that you should just speak and such beings, such planets should be created. Lord, you watch over us, you watch the nations, you are in charge of all the world. It sometimes seems as though leaders and nations have control, but Lord, we come this morning and recognize that you watch over the nations. You thwart the purposes that men and women make. Your plans stand firm for always. Your purposes through all generations. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you not at the whim and the mercy of the world and the wind that blows through, the political wind that blows through the world. We pray this morning, Lord, that you will give us the confidence and trust to put our hearts and lives into your hands. So, Lord, we do wait for you. We wait in hope, for you are our help and our shield. In him, in you, Lord, our hearts are yours. For we trust in your holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our trust in you. So hear our prayers, and your blessing to our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I suppose you like stories. You like stories. You like that. When you were younger, did you like to listen to stories? I mean, we used to listen to Jack and Orr. Did you used to listen to Jack and Orr? I mean, I was there when they invented Jack and Orr. Because it used to be 5-5 when television started, and then suddenly Jack and Orr starts at 20-5. And there's a test card before that, wasn't it? But I just think stories are great. And I suppose a familiar story, you probably remember the story of Cinderella, just an example of a story that we all know so well. You've got a girl whose mother dies, who finds herself living with a stepmother, and the stepmother isn't very nice. She's got two ugly sisters. And you know the story, you don't need to tell you the story. The poor girl finds herself overlooked and treated badly. And the story takes a turn because of the fairy godmother, and there's magic, and there's things that come into the story that make it so different. There's a glass slipper, and a prince, and there's love. And the whole thing ends good. It's a good story. And we hear the end, and we know that justice has been served. Which only a story. And it's just there just to talk to kids and know they have pantomimes and various things have been done using that story over the years. People like C.S. Lewis wrote stories like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. He wrote them, not for the Big Beast Stephanie. He wrote them for his daughter so that she could understand the Bible in a different way. And Roald Dahl, of course, wrote many of his stories for his children. And it's not surprising, I will tell you today, that in Jewish society, it was the responsibility of the parents, particularly the mother, to tell their children stories. Now, don't forget, in Jesus' time, there were no mobile phones and no television. You may be surprised to hear that, but there wasn't. And it was up to the mum to talk to the kids and tell them things. Dad was often out busy working, and mum had to teach her children the things that were important. And she would tell her children stories from the Bible. That's what they would do, they would talk. In fact, actually, this last generation, my generation, when Bible stories had dropped out of fashion. Bible stories were the big deal, right up until the 1950s. They were the stories that you used to hear. You used to hear them at Sunday school, you used to hear them at church, you used to hear them all over the place. Paintings in museums were some Bible stories. And that's how we had information given to us. So Mary would tell Jesus about the things of God. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19 says, tell your children the stories, talk to them, tell them things they need to hear. It's what Jewish mothers do. And so Mary would tell Jesus about the Heavenly Father, his Heavenly Father. She'd talk about the things that have happened, Adam and Eve, and the entrance of sin into a perfect world. She'd talk about Abraham beginning to start a nation and God bringing salvation into the world, the escape from Egypt. David and Goliath, no doubt, excited the boys as they imagined killing a giant.
You know, that they ran off with swords like boys do, and pretending to be David. It's the sort of way in which the youngsters learns about God. And of course, and you have to look at this really from Jesus' point of view, Mary will talk about the promise of the Messiah and the hope that the world had for the Messiah. And I imagine it's through those stories that Jesus came to realize that perhaps it was him. Because he was human, as well as divine. And he came to realize his part in God's plan. And the reason we read the Bible, the reason we listen to stories, is because we need to find our parts in God's purpose. John chapter 14 says that God has prepared a place for those who love him. He tells us that we should not let our heart be troubled. In my Father's house, said Jesus, are many rooms. Now I believe God has prepared a place for every single person in this world. I reckon there's about 48 billion people ever lived. All those rooms, God's got a hotel with 48 billion rooms. But the issue here is, because people don't hear, because people don't know, because people simply refuse, many will not check into their rooms, and their rooms will remain empty. Our responsibility is to read the stories of life, to tell others the stories of life, and to find out this good news so that we too might share in the salvation. It's quite fitting on Mother's Day to remind ourselves that up until recently, it has been the mother's responsibility to tell the children about God and his purposes. And little Samuel looking at us with absolute wonder, because it's true. God loves us all, and God got a plan for each of us. Even someone, what, 6, 5 months old? 4 months old? Yeah, even someone as little as that. And he wants us to find that plan. And we only find that plan out when we read his word and we respond. As Jesus ultimately did, to do what God asks us. May God bless us as we seek to be his disciples these days. We're going to sing a hymn. It's difficult to know what to sing on Mother's Day, but we've chosen what a friend we have in Jesus because. Are we doing that? We're doing that. Right, that's okay. I've missed it out. We'll do Lord, I lift your hand, name and heart. We'll do it if I remove Jesus later. Okay.
Message of the Bible. And all the families we want.
We'll pray for others.
And we'll take prayer.
We'll love that. Father God, we do pause and we do pray today for your blessing on those who have particular needs. Lord, we live in a needy world. We live in a world where there are many people who struggle just with ordinary things. And we think of that fire last night or the night before in Rush Farm. And we think of the loss of three people's lives. And we think of the little boy who's been saved. And we think of the boy who was with his grandfather instead of being with his family. And we pray that you would be close to him today and somehow give him a blessing. We pray for all who've lost loved ones and the mess that that fire has brought. And we pray for peace. We pray somehow for hope. We pray a blessing. And we ask, Lord, that as time goes by, somehow you will be present in that family to bring hope and change. Lord, we commend them to you and all those who mourn that family, and we ask the blessing of you. We pray, Lord, for all who mourn loved ones at this time, particularly on Mother's Day, as we can think perhaps back at our own parents and family, and we thank you for your goodness to us. And we pray for those who've gone before us. And we ask for blessing on all who mourn the loss of their mother on a day such as today. Lord, we give you thanks too for our families, and we thank you for people that are around us, people who love us, and people we spend time with. We thank you, Lord, for the miracle you give us to give us families. And we pray that you might appreciate and may support one another in these days. We pray for the family that is Carey Church, and we thank you for all that we have here as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the love that we share, the friendship we have, and we thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us. We pray for our deacons and those who lead us. We pray for those who preach to us Sunday by Sunday, that you would give your wisdom and your words. And most of all, Lord, as we continue to seek your direction over the future, we ask that you would guide us and lead us. We ask that you would make clear your way and your will. And we ask that you would help us, Lord, be brave enough when we do discover the direction we need to go, that you will help us to step out. Lord, we pray even now that you would send more people to us to help us and to lead us. And ultimately, Lord, that perhaps you will send a leader to us who will indeed be amongst us as our pastor. We commend ourselves into your hands, Lord, and ask a special blessing at this time. We pray, Lord, for our country, our nation, for those who need us. We recognise that our politicians have difficulties to face and they have problems to deal with. And we pray that they may have wisdom and courage and that they may be fair and just in all their dealings. We pray too for local elections taking place in just a few weeks' time, and we ask that the campaign may be a just and fair campaign, and that we elect local councillors in just a month's time, that we might indeed elect those who can lead us well. Wise. Pray, Lord, for international situations, and we think of the devastation in Bangkok and the surrounding area where there has been buildings collapse and earthquakes that continue to quake. Lord, many have lost their lives. Many lives have been upended. Millions of people in Myanmar have been damaged and their lives have stopped going normal. Lord, we commend to you these situations, and for those aid agencies that are seeking to bring help, we ask for blessing. Lord, be in those places where there is hurt and damage and death, and bring peace. And use your people, whoever they are, Lord, in different places, to bring aid and relief and help to certain places. Those war-torn nations, and we know where they are. Lord, bring peace with us. We commend this world to you, the world for which you gave your life. And we ask that you would continue to work through your people in these days to bring about your purpose. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. So now we're going to see what the very last is. Before we sing this on Mother's Day, I've not sung this for years, I must admit. It's one of those hymns that does remind us that God does love us, and he really is our friend, as well as our Lord. So it stands. Thank you. Kings this morning, chapter 17. I'm going to read it for two or three reasons, really. One, there's a mother involved. Secondly, it's a story that Jesus was familiar with. He heard this story from his mother. And we know that, because in Luke chapter 4, he tells us about this story. And he reminds us about the story. So he's obviously read it, and he's familiar with it. So I'm going to read the story to you, and then we're going to sing again, and then we're going to sing what God says to us through it. So it's 1 Kings chapter 17, and starting at verse 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 16. Now, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbite in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here and turn eastward, hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook that I've ordered, and the ravens will feed you." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So things were good. Sometime later, the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go at once to Zarephath in Sidon of Syria, and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, the widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may drink?" And as she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me a piece of bread as well. As surely as the Lord your God lives," he said, "I don't have any bread, only one handful of flour in a jar, a little oil in a jar. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home to make a meal for myself and my son, that we might remain, and then we shall die." All she had left. Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go home and do as you said. But first make me a small cake of bread, from which you can have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. And this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. And there was food every day for Elijah and the woman and her family. But the jar of flour was not used up. The jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word the Lord had spoken by Elijah. We thank God for his word and what he seeks to do. Cornerstone. I'm getting good.
I'm I still know my book is
Let's just pray that God will speak to us. Lord, we come to you this morning. We do value your word, Lord. It's precious to us. It's not that much, really. And we pray, Lord, that we might respect your word and enjoy it and learn from it and recognize you've given us all that we need to know in this your life. So we pray, Lord, as we just go through this story this morning, you will speak to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You get phone calls sometimes that say, I just want to help you. Yeah, I want to scrape them off the phone. Or do things that you didn't know you needed, but you need them. You need them in order to live a good life. And they offer all manner of things. Perhaps sharing a barrel of whiskey. I've never been offered that. My mother was offered the chance to have a whole lot sprayed in a week, even though it didn't hurt a lot. and you get up on all manner of things, don't you, by the telephone? Not just by people, but by computers sometimes. They speak to you, you speak back, they don't answer you. So this is the day, I was driving through Buckingham, as you do, and Sky rang me, Sky TV. And they said, we want to help you. Now, first of all, I didn't know it was Sky, because you never know new people, do you? And they start calling you by your first name, they talk to you so they know you well. And you're just a bit dubious, and you're driving along, and the traffic lights are changing, and you're thinking about all manner of things, and they're discussing your Sky package with you. It doesn't run out for those 6 months. And then you discover that he's really interested in me. Yeah, he really is interested. He wants the best. And it must have been, on this occasion, he was fairly generous to me. He gave me a sports package I don't want. I said, can't you just reduce the bill? If I don't give you a sports package, sir, I have to increase it. So I asked him if he did give me a sports package to tell nobody, okay? So when they come round, my kids come round, they don't turn it on. Because they don't want to watch football on a Saturday afternoon. Anyway, not only did he give me a sports package and another 2 year deal, he's also reduced my bill. And he's given me my sports package until 2108. Quite good, isn't it? Everything else is for 2 years, but the sports is for 2108. And I rang them and said, what's going on? And she just laughed. I said, that's 153. And I'm not going to watch it. Well, that's okay, sir. And she just laughed. You enjoy it until you're 153. Now look, if Sky can look at my name on a list and call me Peter, surely we come this morning to a God who knows us in more detail. He even counted the hairs on your head. Now in some cases that's not difficult. In others, it's a bit more of a challenge. But he knows us. I'm sorry.
You didn't
look at me. Yes, tell me I didn't. But I'm not looking at you. I can't stop looking at you now, that's for sure.
But, you know, God loves us. And he knows what you like, he knows what he doesn't like, he knows what he can give you that will progress you, he knows what you don't want to receive. He understands and he cares. And I think when you come to God's word, you've got to believe that and know that. And that's what we come this morning to this story. And we start looking at this story and saying to ourselves, what the heck is God saying to us? It's a story that Jesus heard. It's a story that many Sunday school children have listened to. You're familiar with it. The rain stops. Ahab does some very wicked things. And God says there's to be no rain. And Elijah makes the judgment. And for 3.5 years, I mean, when it doesn't rain in this country for about 6 weeks, the world comes to an end, doesn't it? Standpipes are delivered, and goodness knows what. Well, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And food was short. Things were difficult. And God said to Elijah, go to the brook Cherith. And every morning and every evening, the ravens drop food for him. There was no McDonald's restaurant on the corner, you understand. But the ravens, God provided. Now, when God provides, it's an amazing thing, really. When God provides, he does it well.
And after a while, the brook ran out. Now things change. Now I'm sure you look at your life and you recognise that God provides for a season. God provides you with a minister for a season. He provides you with certain things for a season, for a job. And then that season comes to an end. And it's time to change, to move on. And often a move and a change is an opportunity for a blessing. Not just for you, but also for other people. So when change comes, please don't think that God has left you. When things happen suddenly, that not necessarily is in your favour, the question to ask from this story is, what is God's plan? Because God has got a plan. And we're foolish if we panic and think he's forgotten us. Elijah could well easily have sat in the brook, the dry bed of brook, and said, well, God has forgotten me. I'm fed up with God. He told me to come here, and look what's happened. But Elijah did not do that. He waited to see what God was going to do. God sees sparrows fall. He can see Elijah and his need. So God decides to do something different. And we have to believe that and understand that and trust that. Now, he sends Elijah to a desperate poor widow. Now, if I was God, I'd have sent Elijah to a farmer who's got a few grains of wheat in a barn somewhere where he can be fed properly for the next few years. But God doesn't do that. God often doesn't provide all in one go. Yeah, when you become a pensioner, you don't receive all your pension until you're 100 immediately. You receive it every 4 weeks. And that's how God provides. He provides our bread, our daily bread, as we often pray in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And God provides. And he provides through this widow. Now, it's a strange situation, and even Jesus observes this widow isn't even a Jewish widow. She's a foreign widow. She's a Syrian widow. She belongs to a nation that the Jews didn't like. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, there were many widows in Israel. There were many people during that time of drought who were struggling for food, who didn't know where their next meal was coming from, and yet God did not send Elijah to these people. And we don't know why, and it's not for us to question. He sends Elijah to a widow in Syria. And he goes there, and he meets her. And the widow is at the very end of her tether. She's had 3.5 years of no food. She's got a lovely little boy, a bit like Samuel, a bit older. And she has been looking after that boy carefully over the years, and suddenly the food is running out. She's got no husband, he's probably died, and she finds herself at the very edge of life. And this chap Elijah comes along, and he says, make me a dinner with what you've got left. And you have to say, it's quite a strange request, but it's the opportunity for this woman to show some faith. To give what she's got. And God often asks us to give what we've got, not what we haven't got. He doesn't ask this woman to go and cook fish and chips. He asks her to cook what she's got. And I like to say to us this morning, to say to myself, God will usually ask you for what you've got. And sometimes it may be all you've got. And he will want you to use that in his service. Now, this woman has the faith. Or maybe even you could argue the despair. To say, I'll help this man and I'll just get a short to sell. She's a woman that was prepared to take a risk, if you like. And sometimes we have to take a risk. In Revelation chapter 21, there are many sins listed. Many sins. Pride, arrogance, you can blame them. But the first sin in the list is the sin of cowardice. The sin of not being willing to respond and step forward. To sin, not to do what God wants us to do, not to step forward when God asks us to step forward. In 3 weeks' time, you're going to watch 3 candidates step into the waters of baptism. In faith, stepping forward as God has asked them to do. And many of us also have been asked to do things like this with them. And so she goes, and she makes the meal, and she gives it to Elijah, and she feeds herself and her son. And then she sits back, and Elijah says, that flour pot and that oil pot is never going to run out now. Never until it rains again. I don't know what you think, but I reckon that little boy, because every night, every day, she emptied the pot, emptied the flour out, and the pot would be completely empty. And then she'd leave it on the side. And I just wonder if that little boy used to go and peek. You know what I mean? I wonder if, as the evening wore on, he just opened the top, just look in, and just to see if, what was going on. And then he did a bit. And next morning, the clock would be full. So the door. And it went on for day after day after day. God was faithful to his promises. He provided, as he promises to provide for us when we give ourselves into his hands. He's a good provider. He's a good God. He's a God who's full of compassion and mercy. He's a God who, as Psalm 145 says, he lifts up those who are bowed down. He supports those who lean on him, who trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart is the verse we're familiar with. He will lead us and guide us and bless us. And these are the sort of things that Jesus learned from this story. These are the sort of things that God wants to teach us as we experience these blessings. I mean, Paul says, in my weakness I have strength. Who could imagine? In the Old Testament, when Moses was walking through the desert and they ran out of water, he should have to strike a rock for it to flow out. Who could imagine that? To strike a rock. I'm not aware that water comes out of a rock when you strike and go up. And here Moses does what God told him. Or even just taps the Red Sea with his stick and the Red Sea opens up. These are miracles that God provides. Or the manna in the wilderness that provided 40 years. And you know, we come to the Lord and we trust him. We rely on him. And he offers to us, as we come to communion sometimes, he offers to us the promise of nourishment, spiritual nourishment. His body and his blood, which give us the nourishment and the strength to live our lives, but deal with the sin that so often hangs around us and that pollutes us. This woman is an unlikely lady. You know, it's usually the unlikely people that God blesses. If you read the scriptures, often it says, as James says, if you're rich and well off, then weep and howl and wail because it's unlikely you're going to meet God. Because you don't meet him. Your day is sorted out. You know what restaurant you're going to. You know what you're going to do today. You know where you're going on holiday. And God hasn't got any space in your life. You're wealthy, weep and wail because God is been excluded. But if you're a poor person, somebody who's looking for help and external support, then there's some good news because God's available. And God can be called on and relied upon and depended on. And this woman found that out for herself. It's something else we hear in the scriptures. Taste and see the Lord is good. And this woman tasted and saw the Lord was good day after day after day after day. I imagine her neighbours asked her questions. I imagine it became quite an issue, perhaps, in the community. But it was a miracle. God provided for what she needed and for Elijah. And I think we have to trust in God. We have to rely on. I mean, I can't help but think, you know what, I'm the sort of person who keeps accounts and looks back and thinks of things. When I came to this church in 2005, we had £2,000 in the bank. And I was told I could come for a couple of years and I could move on. £2,000, you've got £45,000 in there. Surely you can move forward. This is the world we live in, God, and God provided it. And when I came here to this church, because it was God's will, I believe, the church at Rushton wrote a cheque for £10,000 to make that £2,000 a bit bigger and sufficient for the full 3 years I was training. God is good. We've seen it here. We've seen it so many times. Why is it we always look back and say God is good and don't expect God to be good in the future? God doesn't change. He makes his promises and he blesses us. And this story reminds us that we should trust in him, even when it doesn't look as though we should, even when the resources are low, because God knows what we need. God knows what we want. Now, there's always a danger of running ahead. There's always a danger of assuming that what God wants. We need to find out what he wants, of course. We need to do what he tells us. There were many places Elijah could have gone to get help, but he went where God sent him and not where he chose. He went to a place where God wanted it. We're all called in all of our lives to be responsive to him. Do we see the Christian life as a daily walk? Do we rely on God to give us what we need on a daily and regular basis? How wonderful to think Jesus was walking around as a little boy, thinking about stories like this, confident and putting his trust in God. And Jesus, of course, had to trust God on so many occasions to provide. And he himself stood in the wilderness and fed 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's the one who did that. He provided from nothing. And the God we worship is a God who's well able to do these things. Now, it doesn't happen that often. And very often the disciples went hungry. And very often things were difficult. But when the chips are down, when we absolutely need things, God is there for us. He wants to provide for us. And he wants to help us. So what encourages me? To take stories like this to heart. To hear what God is saying. And to put ourselves in his hands. It's no point talking about how good God is. We've got to do it and experience it and walk it. And rely on it. George Muller, who ran a children's home in Bristol, some nights there was not enough food for breakfast, and he'd sit reading the Psalms. He read Psalm 81, and certainly on one occasion when there was not a single scrap of food in the house, and he prayed, and God said, "I'll open your mouth wide and I will fill it." And that night, a local baker was troubled by God and told to get up in the night and go and bake some bread, and he baked the bread and took it back to the orphanage for 7 o'clock the next morning, because he felt God had spoken to him. This is the way in which we're called to live sometimes. It can be a little bit stressful. And we aren't always called to live at that level of stress, but there will be many occasions when God will speak to us and God will call us. You know, children know their parents, and parents know their children. Parents and children know what each other's like, and God knows what we like. He understands us. You know, and I know a number of friends who are prone to swear, put it like that. But I've also noticed that such friends, when they're in the presence of their mother, they very rarely do. Is that fair? So a friend of mine, he used to swear quite a bit, but when he was with his mother, he never did. He spoke like an angel. and I just think to myself, you know, we know and we're able to change our behaviour sometimes in those situations. I just said this morning, you know, we are people who need to know our God and know what he likes and know what he wants us to do. It's no good just treating him like another friend, and he's given us his Bible so we understand better. But we do need to learn from him and get to know him. And we can't do that possibly in the next 3 minutes, but we do need to spend our life getting to know God better and to understand what he likes. That's an attitude and behaviour, where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do. This is the sort of responsibility we have. You know, I often think I'm bothering somebody that won't get treated quite well, but why don't they get treated well all the year? It's not just a one day thing. And Christianity isn't just a Sunday thing, it's a daily thing. And Jesus wants us to walk with him and talk with him and to know him and to read his word, to listen to sermons, to pray, to trust him and to seek his guidance. Because he does say, blessed are those who are poor, for they have the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn over their spiritual state, because they will indeed receive comfort and forgiveness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because God indeed will provide answer to their prayers. So do not build your life on sand, on things you think, on things you want to do. Build them on God himself and trust in him to give us what we need. I went to St. Botolph's church last Sunday night, and there's a bishop, a retired bishop there, and he stood up, we answered some questions, and we break into groups after the sermon, and he simply said this: if Jesus had just done 99% of the work to get me to heaven, and I was left with 1%, I still wouldn't get there. That's what he said. Jesus had done 99% of the work to get me to heaven, and I just did 1%, I still would fail through that 1%. But let's be honest about our spiritual state. Let's be honest about who we are. Let's rely 100% on the Lord. Let's trust in him and depend on him. The one who calls us to confess our sins, to be baptized, to be filled with his Spirit, and to rely on his strength and his resources day after day after day. Elijah did, the Syrian widow did. Why don't we depend on him more? Not just for our spiritual state, but indeed for all our state. And allow him to bless us and to lead us, to taste and to see that the Lord is good. So So I just trust him that a story like that was something that you will enjoy. You will enjoy it. Perhaps go read it again and just see what God is saying to you through it. And look at some of the stories in the Old and New Testament. They're stories that remind us that we do need to trust in God and to allow him to have a bigger part in our life, to magnify the Lord. That's what we're told to do. To make him bigger in our life and to make that thing smaller. Because there's nothing we can do to bring ourselves into God's presence except to trust him and allow him to make it possible for Jesus Christ. So may God bless us. We seek to be his disciples in these things. Amen. And before we sing, Julie's coming forward. That's okay, Julie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Julie's got some little thing she wants to hand out. It's Mother and Son, they've always hand something out. And she's... I won't say what it is.
Well, it's, you know, it's traditional for beginners to begin and say, but it's a little different this year. It's a gift for everyone, and this church is our mother church, whether from childhood or whether it's adopted, whatever. This is our mother church, and there's some challenges going on at the moment. So I thought, or we all thought, a campus, because we're praying for direction. And it's something, whether it's in our personal lives or direction for the church, it's a physical thing to focus on. There's a Bible verse on the back, so that we can just focus on that as we think about our futures together and in our private lives. So if I can ask God for help us to come forward.
Thank you.
thank you for your guidance and for your direction. We thank you for all that you promised us. We pray, Lord, that, somehow we might be responsive to you and allow you to pour your blessing into our lives. Lord, we open ourselves to you this morning. We ask that you will come into us and bless us and give us the, confidence and the bravery to step out in the direction you call. So, Lord, help us to hear your voice. Bless us now, each of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. By Jesus, my Savior. Yeah. So we're going to sing that one of my favourites. It's often sung at baptism, but it's a sort of commitment as we promise or allow God to be our Lord and Savior. You sing it in chorus. Stand. Come and rest in the name with us and with those you love, now and for always.